Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. Tongue gets twisted, other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Like fire, hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher, use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say.
A very good evening to you, Namibia, and a warm welcome to Life Lessons right to your own, your number one talk radio station. You know that this, when it's Saturday, this time around 1900 hours, you know, Life Lessons is here to keep you company on this time slot. Of course, I'm your host, Dafa Happy Juju. We'll be keeping you company this evening and, of course, bringing you an interesting conversation or insightful conversation as we always do it. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM. Thank you for choosing Life Lessons at this time around of a Saturday evening. Quite cozy, not cold, not hot, just wonderful breeze that is, able to make us think about our lifestyle, think about life itself, and be peaceful about about life itself. You know, I mean, life is too short to be stressed and worried. You know, interestingly, before I even introduce tonight's topic, just the other day I had a conversation with somebody, and it's similar to what we discussed last Saturday with my co-host Andreas Kashindi. But this time around, it was really about how stressing and being anxious for something. It's rather about being worried for the next day, how you don't really produce. You don't really get anything done. You don't actually get anything done out of it. So I think that is the core theme of the month, if we can call it like that. Let it be the core theme of the month, whereby we're talking about really anxiety and all that. But yeah, stay tuned and we'll be back shortly. Don't go anywhere.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, please allow me to introduce my guest. It's been 2 years coming. This conversation has been 2 years coming here, all literally. I have a creative director, a content strategist, a filmmaker, and a whole lot more. Okay, please stay tuned. We're going to discuss all this in detail and how she actually got here. Otilia Tutu Mungoba. The beautiful young lady that everyone thinks she's 16. Welcome.
Thank you so much for the compliment. Thank you so much, madam.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, we had this conversation in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
We were attending a Women in Film event.
Women in Media.
Yeah, Women in Media event. And yeah, so I think I'm a groupie of your work. And your style is unique.
Thank you.
Although you might not think it, but you do stick out like a sore thumb. because you're different. The way you speak, the way you dress.
Oh, speak as well?
Yes.
I thought it's only dress.
No.
Okay.
And just, of course, your aura is beautiful.
Thank you.
So it's very sincere. So I'm drawn to sincere individuals.
You know, I loved you the first time I saw you.
Did
and
you?
I walked up to you and I said, you know what? I need to get her number because you delivered a speech that day also on Women in Media.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, but that's me. When I want something or I want to speak to somebody, I don't care whether you're the president or the vice president. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to greet you. So that's how I came up to you. And you look so lovely. And of course, probably in my mind, oh.
Get a You Save today, where every penny counts. 1 liter Clover Long Life Milk, just 22.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Everyday Yogurt, just 24.99 Namibian dollars. A 500 gram brick of Rama 70% fat spread, just 26.99 Namibian dollars. Discounted prices on Rhodes, Ten Food, and You Save brand jams too. You Save, your low budget grocery store, where good food costs less.
Okay, and we are back. So I was saying, I remember that day you delivered such a beautiful speech. And then I walked up to you and I got you. And you're so willing. It's how freely you gave me your number. And yeah.
Because you're a sister in media. And you yourself, you are a storyteller. You just showcase your talent on a different platform. So, I mean, any woman that is out there and doing media, I mean, kudos to them. It's been a male-dominated industry for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that whoever is in media and is a woman, they are ones who came before us, but they didn't get to see and experience the success that we are experiencing now. So, I mean, anybody who's a filmmaker, storyteller, a broadcaster of note, Yana is my friend.
Nice.
Mm.
Now let's talk about you.
Which I don't do often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't worry, this show I prefer my work.
But then this is a funny thing though, Happy.
Uh-huh.
If you look at all the work that I've done, like they say, the body of work, you wouldn't know it's the same person unless you read the credits.
Yeah.
So I've done it a variety of things. But unlike what many people do not know, that my introduction into the industry was through theater.
Oh.
Yeah. So I did children's theater between the ages of 8 and 12.
Okay.
So that was now, cause I could yap for days. So my grandparents, decided, cause that time I was attending People's Primary School. So
you went to People's Primary
School? I am a PPS alumni, darling.
Nice. I'll be there for grade 3. That's it.
But I mean, I know we digress, but.
Yeah.
Every time anyone who has gone to People's Primary School, there is this bug that has caught them.
Nah.
So whether you went there for 6 months or you were there like for years.
Yeah.
So that's where it started for me. And then from theater, then I went on to kiddies presenting, at the Big Mother Body at the other station, the broadcaster.
Uh-huh.
So I did that until I was like 16. But in the same time as well, I was doing television radio. Sorry, I was doing kiddies radio.
Oh, wow.
So I was also a volunteer for Red Cross. So, yeah, I did too many things. Yeah. I had so much energy, darling. That's why at this age, I'm so moved.
You just flew.
I started. So that to answer your question, the entrance was theater, kiddies television presenting, and then radio presenting for children. And then I went on to be a production tea girl, where you're making tea for your producers. And where you're doing the printouts for the presenters, all those type of things. Then I was the best girl. These people who pull cables and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for production as well. And that's how it started off. And then, of course, then College of the Arts introduced the program. So I was one of the first intake.
Oh.
That was way, way, way back. I think 1990,
ooh,
if I'm not mistaken. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there on, then I went on to varsity.
While you're there, alongside with whom do you, whom?
I don't know if you know Perivi Kachavivi. And then there's this famous, not too famous now, but that time he was of note. Gene, that was also a hip hop artist. So many of the new kids on the block that time.
Yeah.
Because that time when College of the Arts introduced the media program, you could enter with your grade 10 certificate.
Oh.
So my, I tried to have a congress with my parents and say, look guys, I really want to do this thing because I'm already in it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do until grade 12, I mean, grade 10, and then I can do NAMCOL, grade 11, grade 12.
Yeah. Well,
like, and my parents like, no, you're crazy. So in the beginning of, so for 2 years or 2.5 years that I went to high school, 7 to 1 or 7:30, first one, and then from there you go then to College of the Arts, because most of our classes were after 2. So I did high school and college at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's why people have difficulty like with equating. How could you have gone? But this is when you went graduated. So this is when you. So I was a couple, I think, 2 years ahead. So when people yes. were graduating, I was already in my 3rd year of college. So yeah, so that's how it went. So yeah, since then we are here now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've worked for print, I've worked for radio, I've worked for theater. Everybody knows the noise about Otilia Mungoba through television.
Mm-hmm.
But then also I also did a stint. I think it's very important to show off, but practice also your skills.
Yeah, yeah.
I told myself by the time I'm 35, mm-hmm. I would really want to be a creative director of note.
You would want to be?
A creative director of note. Mm-hmm. Because you find in Namibia, you do find creative directors who have different specialization.
Yeah.
Those who are just in advertising, those who are just in theater, those who are just in print. For me, I was really adamant by the time I'm 35, I would have done all the spectrums of media. And then also with COVID that came.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it was very radical. We were in a very transformational phase. So when the broadcaster came on with a lot of our content going online because people couldn't meet face to face. So then that's where also the trajectory of my creative directing career went up. So doing content for online, super lekker. So it has always been like that. So growing up, the family thought it was either going to be law or the creative sector.
I wonder why law.
Because of the yapping and the talking, yeah, but then yeah. also as a creative, you know, you sponge out a lot of information. Mm-hmm. We are readers. And this is what I always tell people, like, don't think that, you know, creative people, we do study a lot of methodologies behind. So you would ask somebody, okay, so why is death associated with the color of black?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to read it. You need to study. And then also if you want to make somebody feel big or important, you yeah. would shoot them from this particular angle. Why? Because it has a psychological feel on the person that is watching it.
You know, yeah. I always say people in the media, you need to know a bit of everything. Health, politics,
yes,
psychology.
Yes, yes.
You need to literally, you are literally, I think, a bit of everybody else's career.
Yeah. It's very, very, very much important. What I did not mention that I did 4 years for Global Fund. I was the head communication specialist nice. For malaria, TB, HIV and AIDS. So that we were designing transformational messages mm-hmm. or creative messages for the health sector. So there you work with doctors mm-hmm. and medical technicians as to how you can formulate your messaging to have a different impact. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole lot of reading. It's a whole lot of research. Yeah. There's a whole lot of things that go behind the scenes.
I think you being the Global Fund's communication specialist, probably they chose you because you already it enhanced you getting that position would now enhance the position or enhance the communication, enhance you're already in media, communication yeah. is your thing, you know, the people to go to when yeah. something needs to go out. That's beautiful.
It was very interesting because I've worked for an advertising agency before I joined Global Fund.
Yeah.
So even when we had to do comms uh-huh. for our big campaigns, World AIDS Day, World TB Day, World Leprosy Day,
yeah.
it was easy for me to speak to the graphic designers and the art directors and the creative directors when we composed our messaging accordingly mm-hmm. because I had the background. Yeah. So even like now, before I left corporate, my specialization was content creation around news and current affairs and politics. Oh. So this is why people always say, oh, Tutu, you don't really post stuff about politics and about religion.
Oh.
I said, yes, because that's what I used to do for a living.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when everyone is posting newspaper clippings and the headlines of the day, some of us have worked behind the scenes to produce the headline of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's my story in a nutshell.
Man.
Yeah. But of course, the magic is now that I've left corporate.
Yes.
Darling, the vulnerability. Nobody told me to be an entrepreneur. It's so sore.
It's so painful. I like the authenticity of
it.
It
is so painful. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like a fish out of water. I think also, but of course, somebody had to do it. In my demographic or my age bracket, the ones that I looked up to who were doing, who ran their own agencies or who did, who went out as independent creatives, as women. Mm-hmm. You have Merinda Stain, who I met when I was 14 at the NBC.
Okay.
You have Bridget Pickering, who is a phenomenal producer and a director that I met when I was a student at Wits University. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you had Virginia Wits also, who left corporate and then went back home to the UK to do her own thing.
Nice.
But it was very difficult to see currently in Namibia women of color. So it's been a very lonely journey. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, Tutu, people will say, oh, Tutu, you're so exaggerative. So I'll give you an example. In the last 3 years since I left corporate, I've not worked with one woman.
You serious?
No, I've not.
It's mostly male dominated. It's mostly.
So the editors that be sitting on the deck those long hours, the sound engineers, the lighting technicians, have been men, because I've been doing the production management, the producing end of it and the administration thereof it. So you would find women in the sector who are more creative administrators than technical. So even if you ask me, if you're looking at female editors, I can point them out. I can count them on my hands, because the industry is not conducive, but it's not purposefully done. I think many times when we have the conversation about male and female issues, sometimes it really is what it is.
Yeah.
We did an edit for a client, and the deadline was really, really, really pushing us. We did 26 hours straight in studio. So you're not sleeping, you're just eating and going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, you do your one minute lap around the building and then you come back. But then also, if you're in studio sometimes we even, our shift even starts at 8 in the evening, because somebody else, studio is booked during the day.
So the
only time that I can probably secure an editor is probably at 8. So what female would want to go sit on the decks at 8 o'clock
and especially
until 8 in the morning?
Especially if they have kids at home.
Especially if you are married, especially if you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a caregiver at home, and especially if you are married.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I have a prospective client who said, no, we don't deem it friendly that you're only giving us your staff and crew, which are male. So you need to find us. 40% of your crew should be women. So, you know, I went to the powers and those ones who work in the industry.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, fellow sister in the creative sector, I'm looking for women that can do camera, but can do editing and then can do sound engineering.
Mm.
It's just a handful.
Mm.
It's just a handful.
Yeah.
And women who start off as
the fact that you creative, had to look for them.
Yes, I think. Yes. But also because the client wanted it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Of course.
And women who start off as creative, technical creative people, they normally go over to admin, because now they want to have families, they want to have your 8 to 5, so that happens as is. So it's a normal switch over.
Mm.
So even if I am a lighting technician, and you know I'm on ladders and, you know, on the roof the whole time, I can't go on when I'm like 6 months or 8 months pregnant.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Even nursing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I would then have to find an employer that can say, okay, when you get to 4 months of your pregnancy, then you can move over then to being an administrator. So either you do production assisting or production management, or you do floor assisting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very complicated.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's been a very interesting almost 3 years.
Yeah.
But Achoma, I've had it. I miss corporate. I miss my medical aid. I miss my housing. I miss my car allowance. So my family gave me like 3 years to say, okay, I think when we met, it was just when I had gone.
Oh.
Yeah, when I just resigned from corporate.
Okay.
Yeah. So then I was told by my family, look, you can go out and play in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
but get dirty and then come back at the end of 2026. So
that's what they said.
Yes. So I've got a couple of months still as an independent.
Yeah.
But then the marriage is really to, as an independent creative, but then also working as a member of academia.
I see.
Because people don't even realize that creatives are academics. You know, who's doing policy reform and framework development are creatives.
My goodness.
So how can we say in 2 years' time, Happy is supposed to have a medical aid?
Exactly. And let's pause here for a scheduled commercial break, but we'll definitely be back. Please
we'll
don't
be
go
back.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tell them.
Okay, my turn. Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was...
My man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Oh, yes. And we are back with this beautiful lady. My goodness. Okay. I know we're not done with that conversation, but let's talk about when are you getting some wrinkles in your face?
Oh, my goodness, darling, the jeans. So
tell us about that.
So I do tell you, and I tell Tata Andreas as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think that when you are a natural woman, you don't wear too much makeup. You just wear your basic eyeliner and your mascara and everything like that. It's much more harder to be a natural because you're not covering up anything.
True.
So I must, darling, I drink my water and I have my Vaseline. So yeah, this is very deliberate. And it might even sound shallow. I do a lot of public engagements. And you know, that's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you also do interviews like radio and television and for online.
Yeah.
So you need to really look the part. So this is why me looking good and taking care of myself is really, it's a deliberate move. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. I'm like 80% gray. So I know what hairstyles, you know, I can't even do I used to love the pushback, but now it doesn't look too good when you've got like gray all over.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah. So, but it's intentional. Thank you so much for smiling. Thank you so much for noticing.
But yes. I think it's obvious.
It's the work. It's the work. Yeah. It's the work. It does get, stressful. And then of course us who are sitting and editing a lot, there's a lot of weight gain that comes. Yes. There's a lot of weight gain that comes with it and water retention because you are sitting and you're drinking. Yeah. So you should be very health conscious. And of course with men who are in the editing or in the editing studios or in the sound studios, you know, you're a lot on your feet and you're sitting a lot. So there's a lot of pressures that you're exposing your reproductive system to that people don't really tell you about.
Mm-mm.
And you know, our sector really is one where people, mental health has always been a conversation around it.
Mm-hmm.
I think once people start to appreciate the stresses that come with work,
mm-hmm.
with work as a technical, creative practitioner,
mm-hmm.
people will understand why, you know, people sway to substance abuse and drugs and all the other things that lead many of us astray.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much of a coping mechanism.
Almost like the medical doctors.
Yeah. It is a coping mechanism. And many times you just want to sleep, or you just want to relax, or you just want to detach. So it's that those are some of the challenges that we are facing.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why many of us are not employed in the formal sector, because we, our mental health is not right. We are functional addicts. We are functional addicts, as many creatives are functional addicts, which people do not really want to bring to the fore.
Of course.
Because we're such lovely people.
Yeah.
How dare you say, because I drunk lap.
Yeah.
Hello. Exactly. And how dare you say that, I have misdemeanors in other parts of my life. So it's really much intentional. So yeah, I try to at least do a power walk twice a week.
Nice.
But I've not done anything in the last 6 weeks because I've been on production. So, and production is also heavy because you're carrying equipment.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there's a lot
yeah,
of up
yeah.
and down and walking and stuff yeah. like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fun, but it's a lot of work too.
It's fun, but it's a lot of work. And even just to tie in with that. So if somebody says, oh, what do you do for fun? I say, no, I read. What do you do for work? I read. So what do you do for fun? No, I write. What do you do for work? I write. So what do you do? I watch television. I watch a lot of content.
You do?
I do.
Wow.
I do. I watch a lot of content online, also on television.
I'm the opposite. I read more.
You read more. So I do advise that you should, there's a marriage between the two.
Yeah.
And that's the magic of the audiovisual part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Since you like to read a lot, you know, these days you have audiobooks.
No, but I prefer old school, you know.
Yes.
Not even, I prefer textbook, not even PDF format in my phone.
So you prefer the hard copy.
I prefer hard yes. copy.
Yes. But happy, then it means that you must have a very functional imagination.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah. Because the beautiful thing about print and the way it's written is to give the reader the visual picture and the audio around it. So if somebody says, it was a sunny day in Windhoek and traffic was buzzing and Happy made her way down Independence Avenue, I've said it. But as you're reading it, you know, you're imagining it. So probably, like I said, also you're a storyteller as well. So,
you did say.
So I think it's a beauty of your mind as well. But then I also then challenge you to do the audiobooks.
Okay.
And then also if there are books that you like.
Yeah.
That have been adapted into film.
Mm-hmm.
It will be beautiful to see how the marriage of that is executed.
Nice. What's your favorite movie?
Yo, golly.
Okay, that wasn't Blint. I just looked at you now. And
what's my favorite movie of all times?
Maybe like an one in the past, not recent, but something in the past.
I think for me, it's been The Matrix. Because you have so many analogies to life if you just sit and listen and observe and you see the subliminal messaging of The Matrix.
Yeah.
When the first one came out and you look at what was said then and what is happening now, it is really a manifestation of creatives being visionaries.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Matrix is one of them.
Okay.
However, I've got a very strange
taste.
No, not even a habit. I watch a lot of content without audio and with audio, but I would be not watching it. So I can watch a movie and listen to it, but I'm not watching it. Does it make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So I can watch a movie with the audio off.
Makes sense.
Yes. So it's the same with radio.
Makes sense.
I would listen completely to the German station, but I'm not even understanding what is happening.
Mm.
But because... for research purposes and also to see how algorithms work. And if you are a broadcaster, you want to. So I do content for all languages. So a lot of what I used to do was election content.
Yeah.
So it was for all languages. But then the way I would write the script for voice over artist in German wouldn't be the same way I would write it in Afrikaans. So it's the same way that When I used to do kiddie shows, I used to go sit in kindergartens
at
schools and primary schools, yes, and observe. It's the same when I know that I've got a client who wants me to do an ad. Okay, so funny thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Funny thing, and probably I'm probably exposing myself. Mm-hmm. So we had to do an ad while I was at Global Fund. We needed to do the triple C. It's correct, consistent condom use.
Okay.
Yes.
Correct, consistent condom use.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we had to put condoms in different places, whether it was public toilets and public hospitals and just public places where people could have access to.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously that helps me write better for the ads that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. I would just go into a public toilet. Yes. And we put condoms there, and probably I'll probably sit in the cubicle and then come out after an hour, see how many people have taken the condoms. Yeah. But it's even more peculiar to see the conversations, the conversations that were around women taking out condoms and stuff like that, and men taking out condoms. So creatives are mediums. You're not telling. So if I'm going to do a story about a war veteran,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a war veteran. So the best thing that you need to do is to immense yourself in that life. You watch a lot of documentaries. You go on a Sunday to single quarters. You hear these people sing their liberation struggle songs.
Yeah.
While eating the acapella. You speak to, you know, war survivors. And then you just make, and that helps you better capture and better develop content for a specific demographic. Yeah. So creatives are always mediums.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, I'm reading this book, Convergent Journalism.
Yes.
And quite interesting.
Tell me.
Yeah, ne? it's a 20, this one, there's a 2020 edition, but I managed only to get the 2000, and this one is 2005 edition. I'm not sure now. Anyway, so it's all about different platforms, Facebook, literally putting content out there, at same content at different platforms.
Yeah.
Probably a short video I made about myself, or maybe a voiceover artist that I made for a certain company, and then I put it up on Facebook, put it up on Instagram, put it up on what else?
On the different platforms.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. Yes. On the different platforms. And the aim is to get as much audience around it, you know, because at the end of the day, Tutu might not be on Facebook, but she's on Instagram. So I kind of want to meet you also there.
Mm.
So now with creative industry and, directing films and all that, what do you think about convergent journalism? How are we perhaps going to be able to incorporate, really, I don't know now whether we're talking about perhaps putting a certain short film, maybe on YouTube, right, as well, also maybe having it to play on Netflix, right, also have to play on DSTV.
Right.
How do we get our way around that? What do you think?
Knowing your demographic is very important. Mm. If you're selling a product, where are you selling the product to?
Mm.
I do tell you, I'll give you an example, but with music this time around.
Okay.
I don't know if Happy remembers that I did 3 Decades of Sound with Rashiyama, celebrating 3 Decades of Rashiyama.
Yeah.
In this project, we had 33 creatives, from the painting that was done by Hage, to the lighting technicians, to the set designers, to the band, to those ones who designed the outfit. It was 33 people that came together.
Sure.
However, we had people that were in the diaspora that were lovers of Rashiyama's music, and they wanted to attend, but they were not in country.
Okay.
So again, we had a conversation with an aggregator, a service provider, to say, look, we have people who want to attend the concert, but they are not in country. So how do we do that? So we experimented for the first time ever. I think this was 2024, right?
Okay.
Was it 2024? Yes, it was 2024.
Yeah.
So for the first time ever, people who wanted to attend the concert could purchase their ticket, but then they would get a link that is only subscribed to that specific ticket number. So I couldn't be a ghetto girl and share my link with Happy or the Andreas. No. So it was your pay-per-view. Yeah. So what happened was we had viewing parties with people who were in America, in Germany, and in Jamaica, who said, look, we're going to send the money via EFT.
Okay.
And you're talking about technology integration of that. And then they got their special link and they were able to have viewing parties.
Nice.
So that is just an example there of
that, right?
Yeah. So that is an example there of, I don't know if we're going to talk about my latest project.
Okay. I think we should.
Tarred blemishes. I don't know if that
blemishes.
Tarred blemishes. Yeah. I don't know if that Andreas knows about it. It's, the mini docky on Pengadola. You know, the kids who are begging about traffic lights and stuff like that. The Mula tribe. The Mula community, as they are supposed to be addressed as such. So.
The Mula community.
Yeah, Mula community.
Okay. And now we have a scheduled commercial break. Let's pause for that and we'll be back shortly.
Cool.
If you lost your show, all of that is good to go. Oma wa o tomono okuchako NHP. Genge wa longi fire longi foli lipedulo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku ne fiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku wo ee. Owa washi mali wa oshosha kupako. Washika wet gelo wa komto alandu hako. Kashi, koma punglo e nashano unjolo wele wo ee. Otodulo okulongi fa oma wa o ee. Wa hupuko, opo unamiti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi. Okufuti lapo oi mali wa ishona. Oyo hodulo okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, omaya kulo olu hapu, hakala ina kwa telwa, mouwawe kwa folo elu unamiti. Ile, oto julu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwedi donumba, tokala ino futa ea kulolo elu unamiti. Kowyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngonoma landola fwano ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Great, and we are back.
Yes,
the Mula. The Mula.
Yeah, Tarred blemishes. Yeah. Okay. So I released the first cut about a month ago. We did the unconventional. We didn't do behind the scenes. There was no trailer that dropped. There was no teaser that dropped. There was no poster that dropped.
Wonderful.
Because of the sensitivity of the topic.
Okay.
Yeah. It's where we're holding government accountable, for the current status quo. Yes. So, and of course, I called my family and I said, guys, just to let you know that my premium is paid up with my lawyer in case I do get into trouble during this production. So I spent about what?
But Kanila Momo will become, come such a lot.
Darling, he should. Plus also the story is getting bigger and getting life of its own. Yeah. So what we did is because numbers have never been really important for me as in followers and subscribers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I've mostly been driving that interest for my clients, not for myself per se. And also because we have the limitations that creatives are not monetizing online. So for me, you'll hardly find any of my documentaries online unless I send you the link.
Okay.
Great. But with the Mula documentary, and because we were being unconventional, so we partnered up with NowaZone. And you know, NowaZone has got a great big following. So we said, okay, great. Creators are talking about online monetization, especially for filmmakers. Great. But you know, put your own money where your mouth is. The Mula project is 100% self-funded. It was very difficult to find funding because of the nature of the topic.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So it's quite sensitive.
It's a very sensitive topic as well. And people don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So we launched it on NowaZone's Facebook page.
Continue.
Yes.
Today, I think I'm too comfortable.
Yes, I think you're too comfortable. But it's a delight of the conversation that we're having.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're looking at the different forms of what you were asking me now, is that we took the numbers, Facebook numbers. Not YouTube numbers, not Twitter numbers, not TikTok numbers of NowaZone, and said, this is the demographic that looks and that follows this, your pages and your content.
Yeah.
So with the attention that we're drawing to the subject matter, there's no way I can put it on the public broadcaster and also the other broadcaster and also the other broadcaster.
Yeah.
So the best platform was then to use NowaZone. Great. Now, the official launch of the full length docu will be at the end of the month, and it will be done with a television station that has a streaming platform, but also has terrestrial output, like normal tele. On they are on DSTV.
Okay.
Yeah. Plus, also they have a newspaper under their banner.
Okay.
So it's the same story being told three different ways. However, for different demographics.
You see.
Yes. So this is how it works. And then also what I also do is when I do my director's voice, which is, hi guys, this is Tutu. Just to let you know, this is what we did for the documentary, whatever, or the latest production that we've worked on.
Okay.
The content is the same, but packaged differently with time. So now we know for WhatsApp, it's a minute and a half. So we can cut the edit just for WhatsApp. We cut edits just for WhatsApp. Yeah. Then we know with Instagram, I think they've gone on out to 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With YouTube, you have all the time in the world.
Of course.
And then TikTok, it's very instant. It's very instant gratification.
Yeah.
But I think also it's a blessing and a curse because today people don't have time to consume.
Yeah. I think
because everyone is on a go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do I tell happy story in 30 seconds? It's crazy.
I'm telling you.
So what happens is then I will put the teaser of happy story, which is 30 seconds on TikTok. And then that will drive you to go watch the full one on YouTube.
So the link will be there.
Link in bio. So you can never have the same thing across all platforms.
Mm.
Yeah. And we all know LinkedIn is very, very, very serious.
Yes, very serious.
Yeah, so
to work with for my liking,
very, very professionally driven. So you want to submit it in or you want to post or publish in a very professional manner.
True.
Because if people want to hire you, they go back to your socials and see what you've posted in the past. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that. You really give it your part of authenticity, you know, you bring that to the table, to this conversation.
No, we've walked the path. We've been here for a long time.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The beautiful thing is that I've been from analog to digital. So
analog
when tapes were still so big.
Look forward to Friday edition.
When tapes were so, cause if I take you back.
Oh, okay. Now that's way back.
Yeah. Yeah. If I take you back that I was the first producer of Afro Connection. Great.
You were?
Yes. So think.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes.
Like when I was a teenager and I used to look forward
to Afro
Connection. Yes. You were behind us?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, even to Taleni Babes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
One of the first. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So imagine the tapes that we were dealing with, like were this big, humongous one.
Yeah.
So I've seen the digital transformation from, you know, analog to just having an SD now, an SD card now. People save stuff on the cloud, you know. I'm still having an issue with saving stuff on the cloud because I think Big Brother is watching. So I'm just like, I'll just get my backup drive, you know, and put everything in there. So even the floppy disk, when I was a student, we used to do our assignments on the floppy disk. So that was even before you had the disc. Yeah. Before the walk. So before the disc man, we are the babies from, the little cassette players.
I do remember my brother giving me a Walkman.
Yes.
And
the one with the disc or the one with the cassette?
The one with the disc.
Oh, yes.
With the disc.
Yes.
And then I do remember also having a cassette.
Yes.
Where, my friend went to put for me this song by Konja.
Cook and jam.
It's
cook and jam.
But
I don't know the rest of it, Choma. Not today.
We come a long way. We didn't tell the people we come a long way.
So yeah, that was even when it was still, I think it was still Maps and Konja then.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a long time ago. Maps is still around. Konja is still around. But Konja is now under the name somewhere. Samuel, yes. And of course, Maps is doing what you are doing for the other radio station as well.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a phenomenal master of ceremony as well. Yeah, yeah. So the old cats are still around. And the beauty of it is that, man, if you, I like giving examples.
Yeah.
You know that you have these days, what do you call this new thing? The air fryer.
Mm-hmm.
You know the air fryer, right? So if you take your Oma, home kukune kunangula's home based chicken recipe.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, okay.
And then you put it into an air fryer.
Mm-hmm.
It is faster, but it still has the essence of kuku nangolo in it.
Mm.
So we should look at the transformation of technology like that.
Yeah.
That it is an enhancement. It's faster.
Yeah.
It's able to retain more content.
Yeah.
And to an extent, with AI, and the whole conversation is really about AI and people saying, yeah, it is what it is.
But it is what it is.
AI is really the monster that we are feeding. So whatever transformational you want to see in 10 years from now, that's what you feed into the funnel.
Mm.
If you want to make script writing more accessible, write realistic characters,
mm-hmm.
Then you should be able to formulate that is fed into the AI system, for example. So when students who are doing script writing in 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
they are able to tell authentic Namibian stories,
mm-hmm.
which are really baselined from authentic Namibian stories. So it really is what it is. So AI has its good and its bad.
Definitely, yeah.
I do tell you, I use it as my secretary. There are times when I don't have time for administrative things.
I look at people who want to, you know,
so AI is a good secretary for me.
As much as it has its cons. Which one is good? Pros and cons?
Yeah.
Which one
the pros are the good ones.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. As much as it has its cons, I mean, AI is here to help us enhance the work.
Yes.
And interestingly, I saw somebody, a friend of mine, who's also into web designs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he said something like, he wrote on his status, says, we were just preparing for web 3.0 and then boom, AI.
Yes.
I responded and I was like, checkmate.
Yes.
Because really, AI is here to stay,
mm-hmm.
and it's either you jump on board or you get left behind.
Yes.
Yeah. As much as really we criticize it for so many things. And interestingly, I had also a particular philosophy doctor. She was like, we have to make sure that we get on board on understanding how to use AI.
Mm-hmm.
Use it for good. But then don't just completely rely on it. Otherwise, it will set you up for failure.
Yeah.
She said she was trying to prepare something on a theory to come in, to teach her students or something like that.
Mm.
And she got everything properly and was ready to send it across to come and teach the students. And then something, you know, that gut feeling, just double check if it really does exist.
Yes.
Just to go and check if that theory does not exist.
It doesn't.
AI made up.
It's
so
possible.
Really, yeah.
And another thing with AI that many people have not thought about. Okay, but I think tonight's conversation is multifaceted.
Yeah, of
right?
course.
So I'll take you to a conversation about intellectual property and copywriting.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Mm. So many of our works is not copyrighted.
No.
It's not protected. So many creatives do not know that Namibia has its now own barcoding system. So even if you develop a design of a shoe, and the shoe gets developed, the shoe has its own unique barcode.
Nice.
But then you can also take that and then take it to Beeper or whoever, and then they can cover your interest on the product and the idea that you have developed. Even much more further is that in years to come, when I'm not here, my children or my children's children will be able to go to National Archives and pull from the Otilia Mungoba folder. Yeah, and it's what people are not thinking about. So with AI, what it's doing is it's sampling across a variety of sectors and picking and choosing from various thoughts, methodologies and systems, and then compiling it into what we use at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it's very important that. So I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us buy music now for our online content, because if it's copyrighted, it won't play on YouTube, because there's already an international database that has already an upload already of already existing work. So if you have a live broadcast, but then you are the ones that compiled it yourself and you took the music from YouTube and that music is copyrighted and you're on a live broadcast, your live broadcast can actually stop midway. because the internet picks it up that this belongs to Dr. Andreas, for example. Yeah. So with AI, it's taking a lot of work that is...
It's stealing.
Yes. So this is... So one of the how it's getting its way around it is that... So if... We just spoke about Cook and Jam now.
Yeah.
Great. So if you and I want to do a remix of the song, with the copyright clause whatsoever, I stand to be corrected.
Okay.
We can use about 10 to 15 minutes of that song. Take it and loop it and then create our own music from it, the musical stems of this original song. So that's how you are somehow limited. But if some people have no audacity, they remix a whole person's song, you are not allowed to do that. Yes, you are protected as a creative.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So even once you leave Eagle FM, all this work that you've done while you've been working at Eagle FM, it's very important that it's documented. It's very... So what happens is that... And okay, now we're moving over to the next topic.
Yeah, which is fine.
Which is equity.
Everything is creative. Please educate us. We need this.
So which is equity.
Yeah.
So I did a documentary, Beyond the Goalpost. I don't know if you've watched it.
Mm-mm. Beyond the Goal.
Yeah, it's Beyond the Goalpost.
Oh,
it's about the Eros Ladies Football Club, where I spent 6 months with them just documenting the trials, the tribulations, and the happy stories of women footballers in Namibia.
Yeah.
Great. So although I was commissioned for the work, we kept on going over budget. So the conversation was with the executive producer. So let Tutu Creatives buy equity into the production. So instead of you paying me, for example, the 10K to write the script, I will write the script. And then that would be my contribution towards the production.
I see.
So it's very important that creators also start talking about equity and collaboration.
And I thought that's only in business, but then creative is also
but also in, so I do it a lot. So when creatives have a project, I'll say, okay, great. I'll probably do the administration of your contract with your client.
Mm.
But then a portion of it will go to when you sell your artwork. Because I do also work in the other sector as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you sell your work, then your finder's fee or your commission would come to me because I prepared your proposal for you to get funding. But then it's a consulting fee that is paid to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's equity that you put into the production.
I see.
Yes. So when you are doing your show and you approach an academic institution and say, I'm looking for your final year media students. For their marks, they could research topics that I could do for the next 3 months. And then that's how the student will get their end of the year or the continuous assessment. I don't know what system is in place now for
different,
them. Yes, for them to be tested or accredited on a specific module or subject. So it's a conversation that many creatives are not having. So if I'm having a concert and you can give me the sound, I can't afford to pay you now. But obviously, after we've done the production and, you know, from the gate takings, we say at least you will get then 15% thereof.
I see.
Or your name is on the poster. Or when I come to have a conversation with Happy, you come to the interview with me. And then at the same time, it's PR for you, PR for me. Right? So we should have bigger conversations. So I don't know also if you know of my school screening project. I'm taking my documentaries to schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we started off with a pilot project.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a gig with a Namibian Arts Association. And the conversation was for my payment was then to be converted into technical assistant. So which means is that I'm not looking for the money. Instead of giving me the money, there's a driver, there's a car, there's a projector, there's a screen, there's staff members that can help me take my films to schools. So I think we've done 4 or 5 schools already in Windhoek. So I think we've got 4 more schools to do in Windhoek.
Yeah.
The aim is to have government jump onto the project so I can take it then to 6 different regions. But it forms part of career guidance and life skills. But it's not on my own. it's also not with the Namibian Arts Association. I had to go to the ministry. MASEC ministry, that long ministry. Our Ministry of Arts, yes. I had to go to the ministry and say, this is what I plan to do. Can I have your permission to go to the school principals and say, this is what I want to do? So it's not giving me money per se.
Yeah.
It's collaborating and buying equity into a project. So you will not see the immediate
returns
and everybody's return on investment. But 3, 4, 5 years down the line, you'll be like, no, I did the school screening project and I know how to manage a project of this magnitude. And then, of course, that's how you get gigs and a different sort of clientele. And then also that's how you get your product out there. Yeah.
And you know what? What's so nice about this is that, okay, a lot of creatives, especially when they're coming into the industry, they don't have the money per se, but they have the idea.
Right.
You know, they have the goal, the vision as to where I want to be. I have this beautiful idea. I can do this and do that, but I'm limited because of the funds.
Right. Sometimes, you know what? Let's even spin it.
Okay.
Some people have the money, but they don't know how to do it.
Thank you.
So
that too,
it's just getting into the rooms and sitting at the tables where the conversations are being held.
Yeah.
The one thing that irritates me a lot, but I really don't talk much about it, is that creatives don't like to share their ideas. So if I have an idea and I'm a graphic designer, but I need a filmmaker or I need a script writer. So imagine I want to do an animation piece. I'm not the script writer. I don't write stories. I develop them aesthetically, right?
Mm-hmm.
With images and sound, for example. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. So I need to collaborate with a scriptwriter. So you go where scriptwriters are found.
Of course.
Yes. So I don't understand creatives who don't come to mixers. So even if you are a sound engineer, great. Namibian Film Association of Namibia fan has a mixer and you're a sound engineer. You can actually go to that mixer because we need sound engineers for our productions. So it's a tit for tat. So we have this thing of cliques. That's why people don't even know what cliques are chilling, because I chill with everybody because I'm just like, huh, how can I use Happy next time?
yeah.
You know, obviously, that type of thing. Yeah. And how you can use me next time. Yeah. So it's
otherwise we won't advance.
Yeah.
And otherwise Namibia's creative industry will still remain.
But it comes from a cultural thing, right?
Yeah.
So let's go back. It comes from a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. It's also a historical thing. It's also the decolonization of the creative art sector, which many people have not spoken about.
Mm. And still,
just as they had divide and rule in the whole apartheid thing, we still have divide and rule. Supposedly so.
Yeah.
In our sector. So because we have it in our minds, how we interact with each other as professionals, it plays out on those platforms. So I can't trust you because you are.
I'm scared you steal my idea. Yeah, or whatever.
No, because you are an Owambo scriptwriter. So how dare I'm going to work with you? Because no.
Yeah, yeah.
But you want to tell a story about Nangula who meets Johannes from Damaraland. What?
So exactly.
So again, so it's a decolonization of who we are as a people, which eventually transcends as to how we function in the workplace. So it's forget even the creative sector.
Yeah.
The way people are as friends, the way people are in the workplace, the way people are in church says a lot about how we need to decolonize the approaches of who we are as Namibians.
Yeah.
Because Niyahala, you are in that group, they're in that group, they're in that group. But in just to say, golly, what is your superpower?
Mm.
What is it that you're bringing to the table?
Yeah.
You find that you can have somebody who is who has great ideas, but they can't speak on the mic. And they can be a great producer for your show.
True.
That's all that they do. They do the research. They get people to come into studio. They set up the questions. And that's all that they do because that is their superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of leveraging, why you've got X-Men and Marvels and whatever. They want to save the world, but you can't save the world, you know, one superhero at a time.
Exactly.
It's taking a whole group of people with superpowers to come together.
Yeah.
That's why many of my friends started off with, how can I learn from this person?
Yeah.
Which was very selfish. And I said openly, darling, if you're not of use to me, we are not friends. We are not friends.
Yeah.
And it's not even friends as in romantic friends or platonic friends. It's also friends in the industry. So I have a lot of friends in the industry.
Yeah.
Because 2 months from now, a month from now, 7 months from now, I'm going to need Happy to come through and speak to women in media, for example.
Mm-mm.
And keeping those, I'm not saying be dumb.
Mm-mm. Of course.
And go blind, dumbfounded into a situation. Observe who people are. See how you mitigate and how you can meet them halfway and what skill set do they have to make you a better person.
True.
I tell you, I used to struggle with my makeup when I used to do my public appearances. Yo!
Yeah.
And I told my makeup friends, please come spend at least a day with me to help me get these lashes on.
Yeah.
But it seems like a little thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It just makes you look better in pictures and also when you're presenting and when you're doing something that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think we all have something special in us.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. And I think we sharing it is where the gift can become even better.
And enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Honestly. And you know what? I don't know if we take it. I'm enjoying the conversation. Can I just be honest? You know, I don't know whether you should go for a musical break. Okay, we'll go after. I want you to tell us about...
You're funny.
I know, right? I want you to tell us about your Project Lucas.
No, Project Lucas is not mine.
No?
Project Lucas is Philip Delavari's one.
But you worked with
it? I didn't work on it. I've only So, I tell you... Yes, and Phil, okay, great. You can ask me about anything. Don't worry. We'll spin it.
Okay, cool.
Great. So, Dr. Philip came to Namibia many years ago to start up the NGO Oyo. So, they do a lot of awareness campaigns, whether it's health, what social, economic issues, whatever.
Oyo.
Yes, mm-hmm. Great. So, they are able, they have somehow tapped into the system of being an NGO, but telling stories through film and through dance and through theater.
Yeah.
Yes. So they have now elevated. That's why they have the, I don't know if you remember this, the movie Salute, which was about men who have been sexually molested in jail.
Okay.
Yeah, they have that one as well.
Okay.
And then they did also another one, Kapana, as well.
Okay.
And then they did the one Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
So with Lucas... Great, they've been able to get international acclaim.
Mm.
Yeah, which is a beautiful thing. So maybe the next challenge is then when am I doing my own feature film? Because I've not done I've not done a fictional piece yet. Yeah, so I've only done documentaries.
Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So everyone wants me to. So I've written something. Just probably by the end of the year, I get to do my first independent narrative film. So I'm excited for it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how many documentary films do you have under your belt?
As an independent, The Weight of Tomorrow, which I won Best Namibian Documentary for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to bring my award. It's in the car. I'll bring it. We'll take a picture with it.
Please.
And then after that, I did Farah. So Farah talks about how slang has influenced us as a people.
Oh.
You know, most location, total, colloquial language has affected.
See what I was doing.
Yeah, exactly. So that. And then, what did I do after that? Then I did Beyond the Goalpost about the women in soccer.
Okay.
And then as a baby from 3 Decades of Sound, the concert. So we were doing the Rashiyama documentary.
Yeah.
So the documentary, Rashiyama, the man, the music,
yeah.
is the documentary in the voice of Rashiyama. So all the interviews are with him. So he talks. So if you watch Rashiyama, the man, the music, we talk about Tate Ras as who he was and who he is. So you would still, he still comes across as a living icon in the documentary.
Yeah.
So we still need to have a final conversation with the Shyama family so that they can give us the blessing because we have added other musical other musical elements.
Okay.
Because, so, you know, the whole copyright issue that I spoke about. Mm-hmm, yeah, there's mm-hmm. no way I'm going to be putting your photograph in my documentary. I need you to sign off and give me permission to use all the pictures that I would want, for example, or I want to use your voice. There's a whole legal system around things, and people take this for granted.
Yeah.
And then, of course, now with the tarred blemishes. How much is that? Those are five, ne?
Five. Yes. I think it's five.
So I have five babies to my name, and I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I think the only disheartenment is funding. Funding, it's a whole Zula story. Hi, my name is Tutu. I'm doing this project. Can you please, you know, and
come on board.
So I, and this is my open call. Yeah. Let me also use this. I said, must be my friends. So I'm telling you, I've been struggling to, get funding for my latest documentary. Not even latest. We secured the rights to tell the story. Towards the end of last year.
Okay.
So I'm not familiar. I don't know if you're familiar with Tate Ninja, who was in prison for 25 years.
Oh, yes.
So I have secured the rights to tell his story in the format of documentary. And we've been looking for funds. We've been speaking to the elite, with the people with deep pockets.
Yeah.
But everyone just says, oh, unfortunately, I can't, you know. So, now we're looking for funding. So if anybody's out there, I know big people listen to this show.
Yeah. Big people listen
big
to
people,
this show.
People with deep pockets and people who have influence and who can speak to a cousin, who can speak to another cousin, who can speak to another meme, who can make it happen. So we are in the process of soliciting funding to tell, Ninja's, story through documentary.
Yeah.
And it's not easy because many people say, oh, it's a great idea. But and then the script is done. But then if you tell them, like, how much do you need? And they're like, oh, gosh, because storytelling is not cheap.
Exactly. But I think, do you also include, but you can give what you can afford?
Yes, you can give what you can afford.
Yeah.
But, of course, there's different standards. I think if you've seen all of my documentaries, each one is different, but the quality is very great.
Top-notch.
Yes, top-notch. I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but especially now with the Mueller project, we really... So I don't know if Tate has seen the Mueller documentary. Okay, I'll send it to you. If you look at the coloring and the scheming of it, it's done in the color tone of their skin and that clay that they put onto, not the clay, the powder of the from the bark of the tree that they put on closely, like the himbas.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if you look at the music, there's a lot of work that went into producing the music. The music is 70% AI developed, but we were very much intentional about getting a sound engineer who could come in and mix actual instruments into the sound that we really, really wanted. So even the sound of the wind, you know, we record those things. You can, cause if you watch the teaser, you know, if you watch the document, there's a lot of wind in it. There's a lot of traffic in it. So all this audio is developed. So there's a lot of cooking that goes behind making something look good.
Mm-hmm.
And many people say, you guys, you draw most, you take photographs most. Storytellers. it doesn't come cheap.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So support the arts. Support the arts because even the mic. So I don't know. We're speaking so much today.
Yeah. No, please say that thought before you lose
so,
it.
So before I lose. So. Anything that is created is created for the use of mankind. So even if you have an engineer who did the technical aspect of this mic that I'm speaking on, right? A creative designed it so that it can have this circular modularization of what it looks and so that it can be user friendly. The same and the simplest example is a cell phone. So even though you have the technical aspect of a phone, you need a creative to say, okay, great. Because people used to use more as a phone for the headset.
Mm-hmm.
So great. So what if your cell phone was in your shoe? I mean, it's not practical.
No.
Yeah. So creatives are practically based, practical solution based individuals. Why? Whether it's with music.
Practical.
Solution-based individuals. Yeah. Anything that we do is for the use of mankind. So even if that scarf was knitted by your oma, it was most for you to be warm. So there's no way that the scarf can be too thick, because then it becomes a shawl or a throwover. It's a scarf. So a scarf is made in a particular diameter, in a particular length, for it to cover your neck. Great. And that's what people take. Even the chair that you're sitting on, what you're wearing, the earrings, anything for functionality. And that's what people always take for granted. Even a bag. So imagine if a bag was something else. How would you carry your stuff in it?
Even a cap.
Even a cap. You know, to block out the rays of the sun. So it must have a functionality to it, even though the design doesn't seem as complex. Great.
You're such a director.
I'm an overthinker at times.
I think you have to be.
Yeah. I live in my head. I've got all my friends there. I know it sounds crazy. But
Anyway, let's go for a musical break. We'll be back. My co-host, today, Andreas, has some questions, and he's going to come definitely and give you guys some little bit of spice with this beautiful lady.
The ladies have been speaking too much, man. Yeah, let the tate also get his voice.
You know.
Go.
We'll be back shortly.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM.
I was standing in the shadows of a life I didn't own. Every mirror told a story of a heart turned into stone. I kept chasing your reflection in the corners of my mind, but every step I took with you just left myself behind. I was dancing on a wire just to keep you satisfied. Every tear I ever swallowed was a war I had to hide. I was fading like a whisper in a storm I couldn't fight, till I heard a voice inside me saying you deserve the light. Every broken piece is calling out my name. Every silent scream is rising from the pain. I can feel the fire burning through the shame. Tonight I won't be the same. I should be. Try to rewrite who I was. Every sorry that I whispered just to earn a little love. I was bending every boundary, I was breaking every rule just to fit into a picture where I only felt a fool. Now I'm walking through the wreckage of the girl I used to be. Every scar is like a roadmap leading me back to me. And the silence feels like music and the pain has turned to gold. Every shattered piece is stronger than the lies I used to hold. I can hear my heartbeat louder.
Of a life I didn't own. Every mirror told a story of a heart turned into stone. I kept chasing your reflection in the corners of my mind, but every step I took with you just left myself behind. I was dancing on a wire just to keep you satisfied. Every tear I ever swallowed was a war I had to hide. I was fading like a whisper in a storm I couldn't fight. Till I heard a voice inside me saying you deserve the light. Pieces calling out my name. Every silent scream is rising from the pain. I can feel the fire burning through the shame. Tonight I won't be the same. I choose me. Through the fire, through the fall, through the ache in my bones, I choose me. Even if I stand alone, I tried to rewrite who I was. Every sorry that I whispered just to earn a little love. I was bending every boundary, I was breaking every rule just to fit into a picture where I only felt a fool. Now I'm walking through the wreckage of the girl I used to be. Every scar is like a roadmap leading me. Yeah!
Okay, my turn.
Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was...
My man,
you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And of course, we are back. We're talking about creative industry, filmmaking, being a director, and this lady.
And many more.
Yes, and many more. I love how you brought so much on the table. Things that I did not anticipate. And you know, that's exactly why I like Life Lessons. Would you believe me that if I try to prep ahead of the conversation that I'm going to have with my guest, it's going to be a flop. It's either we just jump on it and let the conversation flow. And I think that's what makes Life Lessons so unique. Yeah. Because remember, if you kind of like limit your guest to say, we're going to talk about this, going to talk about this. The guest has interesting stories that I have no idea that he or she has, you know, participated in.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just never be shared.
Yeah.
So I really love how you brought so much.
It's beautiful. And I think also the reason why I even giggled now,
yeah,
in my head now, when you were asking me about Lucas.
So the
crazy thing is, when many people do research under my name, great. You have other local productions that come under.
Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then people would normally would then think that I'm affiliated to
with
that
Lucas
production. Yeah.
And I'm not the only one who thought.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Mm. So that was actually the intention. So now that I'm almost done, I can now talk about it.
Yeah.
I was raised by my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the first grandchild. And
oh,
you know, when you are the first grandchild,
you're spoiled.
You are spoiled. But I grew up with very militant grandparents who were very much intentional about legacy.
Oh.
Where you are going, what is it that you want? But I think more importantly of representing of the name, the family name.
Mm.
So my mother's maiden surname is Hangula. Then my father's surname is Mungoba. So when I really think about who is it that I really wanted to, 20 years from now, the legacy would not be to the accountant, would be probably to the storyteller. And when I left corporate, I told myself, and I can openly say it now, when people in or outside the country,
yeah,
Google creative sector, then I wanted to be at least the top five. That's why now I am in that place where people say, oh, so I can also talk openly about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we had the elections and SWAPO was doing its manifesto,
mm-hmm,
and developing the subsection for the creative sector, they did their research as to players in the sector. And then people are like, oh, you're going to go speak at the SWAPO, you know, manifesto summit. Are you now also now part of the comrades?
Eh.
I said, no, because it comes from a place of academic.
Yes.
So if you put in the work, the legacy unfolds itself, really. The legacy really unfolds itself. And for me, I really feel Namibia has so many beautiful stories to tell.
Mm.
we normally overlook the beauty of our scars. Mm. We heal through stories. We reform through stories. Mm-hmm. There's no way that an accountant, I'll give you another example. Yes. If you go from one doctor to another doctor, the doctor says, okay, where's his client's file? What is the doctor actually asking? Where's his client's, what is his client's story? They need to see your story in order for them to know who they're dealing with.
Exactly.
Now, the other doctor maybe operated on your left leg, and now this one has to do the same operation on the left leg. But if they didn't go through your file, and you don't tell them, maybe because you can't speak and you're not in a position to communicate.
Yeah.
Obviously. So stories really represent who we are as a people, where we are going forward, and who we really want to see and position ourselves. For me, I am, and happy you know me, I'm all things Namibian, I'm all things African, I'm all, but how do we take that to the world? And many of my colleagues, and I say this and they don't like me when I say this, you do your production, you do your documentary, you do your films, whether it's short or full length, and you're running to the international market. But people who are from your village, somehow in Okahau or in Ovitoto, they've not even seen the what work you do. And there you're driving there with a Mercedes Benz, and people don't know the legacy of that Mercedes Benz. So if people understand your story, they don't need to know the full impact, the full story, the full coverage thereof. Then they'll learn to better understand you and know how reflective of you are. So with Meme Netumbo putting out the challenge to the creative sector with funding, she's very much intentional about who the formidable image of Namibia. Because if you look at countries like Nigeria and Ghana, we move now to fashion now. And there's a material that we present. You know already this is kente or shitenge or the Ankara that comes from West Africa or whatever.
You know there's a Tanzanian dress.
Exactly. So the question is, as a storyteller, whether you do it through music or through graphics or through sound or through, doesn't matter, through photography, what represents us as Namibians? Many people don't even know that Ndondela is not ours. The Ndondela came from Finland, and we just adapted it as
a tie of those in prison.
Yes. It
I was surprised when
I heard it.
Yes,
it was an institutional dress. So, and then we've just made it a modern or contemporary version of attire or apparel. But it's not. So, what is the story? What is the Namibian story of the Namibian and today's Shitenge, for example? Because if you look at anything that represents us as a people, and I had this conversation with a sound engineer, because he was probably thinking about an album cover that represents us as Namibians. It's either the pelt or the hide, you know? The animal pelt or the hide, yes. Yeah. Or it is the Namalap. But it's not really the Namalap. Because the Namalap encompasses all our traditional, all our traditional materials in it.
Yeah.
And then it makes up what it is today. So this is why you find, and you beautifully find, a lot of modern designers are now integrating that the lap, yeah,
the Namalap,
the Namalap into the Herero dress. Have you seen how beautiful it looks? Even the even in the Owambo traditional dress,
yeah,
if it's even in that thingiki. Now here's the sad part. The textile industry does not produce that we are wearing.
No, it doesn't.
Yes. So even if you are wearing a Namalap, you're wearing a Namalap that came from China.
I know.
So what does that say with regard to the integration of chain supply and chain production across the board as a creative? Because as a creative, I think also, happy you know that I design many of my own outfits. Of course. So I need to go get the material away from Chinatown, because there's not Meme Rauna or Auntie Melissa who is doing prints at her back room that she's selling 3 to 5 meters, because she can't afford the machinery. She can't afford the textile printing, and the ink is even more expensive to get. So when people think about the creative sector and developing it, look at it as chain supply. It's not just me wearing the traditional Ondelela dress at the end of the day. So I'm wearing a dress that represents my people, but it's not even made in Namibia. It's not even made in Africa, darling.
It's so bad.
That's how hypocritical the system is. That's how the system could be better. So think about it in this particular way. If we have Fashion Week at the end of the year, and we say we're inviting those who do textile, those who do manufacturing,
cotton. Is it Angola?
Because also with cotton? The cotton, again, the availability of the fabric is not limited. Really indigenous to SADC.
Mm.
But then in other parts, like Egypt and Somalia, they are well known for the cotton and the cotton material that they produce. So think about it. By the end of the day, we want truly Namibian outfits, for example.
Yeah.
Designed by a Namibian, mm-hmm. made by a Namibian, mm-hmm. manufactured by a Namibian. We're having this conversation in 2026, but the actuality of this happening is probably 5 years down from down the line.
True.
Because for anybody to walk around with a 100% made Namibian dress, you need to update merchandising, you need to textiles, mm-hmm. manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So even if you think about it in the creative sector,
mm-hmm.
it's more than the creative sector.
It is more.
Yeah. Even when you look at Testic Rice, once in a while they've got commemorative designs of the packaging.
Yeah.
That packaging design was done by a lady sitting in a village. It was printed by a local printer, and then that's how they got it onto the rice. You are eating rice, but you're celebrating that the rice was harvested in South Africa. So it's more than just what you wear. It's what you consume.
Man.
That's why people are so crazy with marathon chicken. That's why people are so crazy about Oshikundu. You are eating and you are drinking a culture,
exactly.
a heritage, yes. a tradition, which brings me back to the stories that we tell. So many people say, oh, Toto, you can't claim to be Namibian. I say because I rara a lot and because I don't speak Chiwambo fluently.
Mm-mm.
But let's take our shoes off and our earrings off, and let's talk about what it is to be truly a Namibian.
True.
You are a Namibian, but everything in your house has been bought from a supplier that is outside Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
You need something to be made, but yet you want to rather go to. And this is why furniture shops really don't like us.
Yeah.
Because then if you're going to have furniture that is made by Namibians who do joinery and carpentry and all those things, and government says, great, for the next 12 months, we are not buying anything outside the country for this furniture demarcation. Say maybe, for example, for school benches, for example. We only want school benches.
Even
school chairs. School chairs and school benches, we're not importing it from our stakeholders or our partners in the diaspora and Africa and everywhere else. It needs to be made in Namibia. Trust you me, when you're looking at the developing the chain, the value chain of that product where Johannes will sit at the end of the day, I'm telling you about 100 families will be fed. It's one chair, but it's feeding 100 families. Okay, I know I'm exaggerating.
Not really. Not really. And I this is beautiful. Tate Andreas, please, the floor is yours. Come in.
I'm actually just absorbing everything here. I'm in a masterclass.
You give me too much credit.
I agree with a lot of things that you're saying, because I mean, Menetumbo talks about 500,000 jobs.
Yeah.
Is it how was it?
Yes.
Or,
yes.
Was it said by Hage?
Yes. No. It
was her, right?
It's a continuation thereof. Yeah. Yes.
You see, all these things, if we can just do all these things, I think we can hit those numbers.
Yes.
Because right now we have a lot of Namibians who are just at home. People have finished carpentry and joinery and what is the other things? Tenor and fit.
Even people who do agriculture, all sect around. Yeah.
So I think what you are saying really it's to promote our country so that we can do. You see the story of Ramatex
Right.
It still pains me today. Yes. Because over 6,000 people lost their jobs because that thing closed down.
And that's a creative industry.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and it's still useful. I know that a portion of it is being rented out. I mean, they've got international partnership on part of the property. But even when you... Dr. Andres, let me tell you one thing that we also struggle with in the creative sector.
Yeah.
Infrastructure support. So that's even if you're trying to build a studio, no, forget it. You're trying to have a concert. Where are we in concert in Windhoek? It's only Zoo Park and where else? All the other places. However, these places are not made for concerts. Because when you have a concert, you do acoustic development. You make it so that it can accommodate what it is being built for. Infrastructure development is a big gap in this country. Mm. Of course, government also knows it, but we could do better. Mm. Then you've got places like Ramatex, where portions of it, we don't want the whole building.
Mm.
You know, if you want to have a set, and we're working towards the film city, building Film City Namibia, for example. Okay. Great. Ramatex and the portion of it that is open for Namibians could be used as studio space. The one thing that we need to admit to ourselves is that many of us do not know how to do these innovations.
Thank you.
The ideas are there. Undertaking is an issue.
And there's nothing wrong with
bringing it. I tell you, and I choose to, I stand under correction, but I really put the challenge out there. Even when it comes to the level of sound engineers that we have in this country, many of them have been in the workplace as sound engineers, but show me any sound engineer that is NQA-4.
Accredited.
You are lying. If they are, they are less than 5. And you want these people to work on international movies? You want Yemi Alade? You want international artists from Africa, from the world, to come and have a concert here? But they come with their own sound engineers, because even if I was, and myself, I'm also part of it, even if I've worked in the sector for the longest time, I don't have the certification to prove it. Do you see what I'm saying? So how can I be a creative? You must also be an academic.
Yeah.
How are you going to know how to do your books? You must know 1+1. You must know your overheads. You must know what your bylines are, all these type of things. But these are conversations that we are not having. And what we as Namibians could do better, my grandmother always said, if you can't say anything good, don't say it. What we could do better is start off from elementary. When we were younger, Tata Andres,
yes,
we had entrepreneurship day. We had people who were making cookies and selling biscuits and making jewelry. Even though it was a 10-year-old making it, they understood of making to sell, to getting money, and then to go buy more stock. And then that's how the business expands.
Yeah.
You have many businessmen in this country today who started off selling sweets at high school or at primary school. But it's a simple formula. And you do that with education. It's the two. You cannot separate it. But then if the industry is not fed from its teaching institutional level to what is needed, no. So I think we should have an honest, my parents had an honest conversation with themselves. This child talks too much. This child likes to read. This child likes to dance. This child likes to write. This child likes to take pictures. Let's put this kid in so many programs and bombard her with an overload of academics for her to be a practitioner. Do you get it?
Okay.
Yeah. So it needs to, our conversation today is a true representation of what needs to be done.
Wow.
Because even today, if that Andreas wants to go open up another office, Eagle FM office, in the north, for example, that would be a hub of this thing. There are a couple of things that he would need to know, because the desire itself is not enough. The desire in Namibians, the desire to be great is not enough.
That is serious.
I'll tell you this off after the interview.
Yeah. No. I was just looking at the different. I think you've done. You mentioned about five of your own babies, right?
That you've
created and stuff. I think we need to get. You didn't mention where we could find them. If
they are not available. Only Tad Blemishes is available online. Because of the blockages. Yes, I will be able to send the links.
But on what platform is it?
They're on YouTube.
Oh, okay, YouTube.
Yes,
okay.
Tad. Tad Blemishes. So Tad Blemishes is on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and then the others are on YouTube. But then I would need to, whoever is interested, then we just send them the links, and then they view it, and then they can, you know, spread the word. But unless, when we come to a place or time when online monetization is going to be fully implemented.
Oh, yeah.
That one has its limitations, guys. Footprint, our technological positioning in the world, guys, all those things are justified. However, there are also other ways that can work, but it doesn't help if government creates pockets of monetization that everyone cannot benefit from. So that's why you've got platforms like YouTube that is beneficiation for everybody on a larger scale.
Okay.
And currently, Namibia does not supplement those numbers. So unless so what happens if we have, funny example. Imagine if we have NamTube today.
Okay.
Great. Infrastructure, when it comes to financial setup, right, and gateway and payment gateways are locally developed for the Namibian.
PayPal.
For example. Even e-wallet.
Yeah.
You wanted to get onto a channel, and you could subscribe in it by paying an e-wallet, for example. Great.
Okay.
Then that is an empowering system. Namibians are very funny and hypocritical. I am also one of them. Because if there's no all gold in the shop, I will not go buy the other tomato sauce that I'm not used to.
Crystal gold. Yeah. Which is Namibian, by the way.
Exactly.
No, guys, I don't I prefer the other one.
Thank you. Exactly.
I got corrected by a lady just last week. It's
Wellingtons. I prefer Wellingtons.
I was buying, and then they had Mr. Bowl's,
The chutney.
Chutney, yeah.
Yes.
The sweet chili.
Yeah.
They had it on sale for 44 Namibian dollars in OK here, right? Mm-hmm. And then I went there to pick it. And she was like, but why don't you try Crystal Gold? Because it's Namibian. And I didn't know that it's Namibian in the first place.
I think I've tried it.
So Crystal Gold was $39, while the other one was $45.
Right.
So I ended up taking the Namibian one just because.
Exactly. And that is the paradigm shift that we're struggling with from all as creatives. We can build.
We can build
platforms that has local thing, but then just tell a Namibian, okay, great, we are migrating, and you can have a diverse platforms.
Yeah.
Then we can have a conversation. Mind you can also tap into different markets. You don't need to worry about elder Namibians. But if somebody says, great, and this is also the challenge I'm putting out there, because we have people who are programmers and designers out there, like, technological designers out there, if they just say no, we want to put, and we have platforms that have Namibian content. Now, with the Andreas taking out his $60 every month and paying that subscription fee,
it's a challenge,
guys. We need a whole paradigm shift.
That is true.
In order for us to buy into the local content,
we want to enjoy
content.
Local music, but we don't want to pay.
But you don't want to pay for it. Even like now that music is even cheaper, it's even, you can even download it, and just to download the song, and you just charged 10 Namibian dollars. People better be like, no, this is a loaf of bread or half a loaf of bread. So true. I think we should see ourselves as kings and queens.
Yeah, man.
And then we were able to invest in each other more.
When they do bring you on the table again to discuss about creative industry monetization, right? Talk about subscription. Subscription.
Yeah, that
one. Yes. Subscription. What?
Subscription.
Right? Subscription, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, for instance, I pay for extra storage on my Google account.
Right.
And guess what? They deduct $33 per month. Well, I don't feel it, you know. I'm just like, when they do deduct, I was like, okay. The first time I actually did that, like, I used my card and first time, because that was the first time I was buying something online. Mm-hmm. I felt so proud of myself. Like, can you imagine? Because I'm usually this type of typical village girl type of person. No, next time then they're gonna just pull out a chunk of my money without my permission and that kind of stuff. So I think such a conversation to say, let's come up with a way Namibians can really fund this thing. Like a subscription where those who are interested can be deducted $33 Namibian per month. You'd be surprised how many people want to see Namibia's creative industry, you know, really excel. Mm-hmm. And they will have no problem parting with their $33 Namibian.
Right. You know, I understand and fully agree what you're saying.
Yeah.
The challenge is trust.
Ah.
Trust to know that every month your $2.50 is going to Tutu, and Tutu will not duplicate your banking details. It's safe.
Yeah.
So they'd rather trust an institution. This is why you, then this brings us to another part of our conversation, where you have institutions who back up local institutions. So if somebody says, no, Standard Bank or FNB or whatever bank or whatever bank, is proudly powered by, darling, then you will see a bit of the mind shift, because then some of the trust element is then addressed.
Yeah.
No, obviously, if it's F&B and they had a whole launch, or if it's NetBank, they had a whole launch and everything like that, and it's justifiable with the minister who went to address us, great, then you create buy-in. But what is buy-in? Buy-in is trust. The moment we see an American wearing a Namibian dress is the moment people will be running to go buy that dress, because the mindset of how, if something of value is being worn by a person that we attain to value with, or that we attach value to, then surely it must be valuable. But then this
but
is
it has always been valuable.
It has always been valuable. So when we see more Namibians buying local art, and you know, I've did a documentary where I went to so many affluent homes of Namibian who have art because they can afford it. So you can put down, you can put down every month $350. By the end of December, you can afford a piece by this particular artist.
Yeah.
Right.
Right,
but it's just there needs to come a mechanism where we buy the buy-in of the self, the buy-in of the Namibian. But I think it comes with trust. The day that there's a paradigm shift as Namibians valuing themselves even more, how we speak, how we dress, how we speak to each other, not only to the self, how we interact with each other, and how consumerism is driven in this country. You have so many people who are making, who are harvesting potatoes, and it is in Clicks, or not Clicks, sorry, in ShopRite and in Spar, right? Because those companies took, had the trust to say, okay, you can harvest a hectare, great, just bring it. And then at the end of the month or at the end of the harvest, they know, okay, Circa from Ovitoto will bring me maybe a ton of tomatoes at every quarter or every harvest. It comes with trust. But if you tell a Namibian, do you know that you're actually taking a potato that was harvested in Namibia? They don't read the labels. Why don't they read the labels? Because they trust the shop. They trust the shop.
And lately I've been looking at labels, right? To see, was this made in Namibia? What is that that surprised me? My favorite dishwashing powder, Sunlight, right? I was in the bathroom and I was like, I don't know for what reason I always thought Sunlight was Namibian product. Only to come and check, made in South Africa. Because, hey, I saw the labeling package had so much Portuguese and other languages. And I'm like,
it's Zulu.
Oh, the thing like that, yes.
See Sunlight dishwashing powder. You know, those 3 kg, 5 kg ones. Yeah. South African brand.
But Happy, how don't you know? So this is how it is.
Right?
And next to a South African product, you will find a Namibian product. but because you're not acquainted with a Namibian product,
you rather go with
what you trust.
I was using this. I don't know whether the one is Namibian product. Almost Namibian product, right?
No.
Let's pause for a little bit.
Press pause.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Anyway, Tutu, I want us to address something quite interesting, yes. Right? About crystal gold, tomato, all gold, Wellingtons, you know, and then also tinfish, right? Lucky Star. Everybody's so heartbroken that Lucky Star is coming to a closing. I don't know if they've secured some funding and it's no longer coming to a closing, but yeah, I would be sad to know that I can no longer have Omboga with Lucky Star. Nonetheless,
the flavor.
Let's address the elephant in the room,
which
in
is
this conversation, which is, can the Namibian people, can I, Andreas, and the beloved Mungobar, actually enhance on our products? I mean, if you're going to give us something, there's a reason why I like or I love Lucky Star. It has a certain flavor. Now, when I go to a certain local tin fish, it tastes like it just came out of the river. Oh, I don't know what, you know. Why can't you learn from the South Africans? If need be, you can travel there yourself by road and go find out what it is that they're doing. I'm not saying they're going to give you their, you know, secret, whatever, but recipe, but can we enhance? Because you can't want me to support local when local tastes clay.
Local doesn't taste clay.
Okay, for some.
It's an acquired taste.
Okay, cool.
But taste comes with money. Mm. And what, like again, like we, before the, we did the break, it's because you are used to a certain taste. So you need to expand on your palate, Choma. So mind you also, when you have products like Lucky Star, for example, and you wanted a Namibian that wanted to have rights to reproduce Lucky Star, for example, in Namibia, then this is how the story of franchises come in. Franchising comes in. It's the same with if you know that a product is well liked in your country, then you attain a franchising license. Then it is done in your country, for example. You get the
Coca-Cola.
Yes, you get the blueprint to manufacture, or not really to duplicate, but to manufacture that recipe in your territory of choice. And then you'll have the same Lucky Star. But the Lucky Star product recipe cannot be given unless it probably goes on to a franchising deal or something of the sort. However, on every package, there is always a suggestion line or a toll-free number that you can call that.
Yeah.
Yes. And so this is how we somehow shift the conversation to know. Namibians, as we are complaining, and I need this to be taken very seriously, what the consumer wants, if they had liberty to come together as a body, as a people, and then petition for what they want, then government has to listen. Great. So if you want a certain product to be placed in the Namibian supermarket or shop or whatever, Namibians have the right to lobby as consumers, to say we're not actively putting our money into products that come from this country, this country, this country, this country. This is why I always say discrimination also has its positive part.
Of course.
Yeah. So you are at liberty to discriminate as a people and say, we only want to eat potatoes that have been harvested in Namibia. Mm-hmm. So what does that create? It creates demand, which means more people will be being given land to start off, and then they can have, you know, harvesting of potatoes. Mm-hmm. Because when you're creating a market, you're creating what? A catchment. You're creating a market. You're creating availability of jobs, availability of land, availability of funding. So it has a ripple effect. Just like we spoke about the chain supply. It has a ripple effect. So once we say no, we just want to... let me tell you what they did in South Africa.
Okay.
For music. They said all radio stations should play 80% South African music. Can you see the radical change that happened? So you had more people that had investing into studios, into studio infrastructure, into having technicians. That's why you find a lot of people are now studying sound engineering, and you have more musicians coming and going for teaching, and you have more musicians coming out because it's profitable. Mind you, with every market that is created, there's also a niche. I tell you, Happy, there are Namibian creatives that are much more famous than The Dog, for example.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
But only in the north. They're on TikTok. They're on Instagram. They have 30 seconds kids. Okay, maybe not more famous than The Dog.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're looking...
More impact, maybe.
Yeah, when you're looking at... These people can even go to a shop and they don't even do groceries. Because the guy who is selling potatoes... Why am I using potatoes as an example today? I don't know. Maybe I'm blessing slap chips. Maybe I'm blessing Porsche chips. I don't know. you have creatives who live on social media, who are creating content, and their household names in their little towns. Whether it's Swakopmund, whether it's Kwisepmund, whether it's Arandas, whether it's Enana, and all, they have the power of the internet. They've got the power of technology. So why, imagine if those people had access to the infrastructure and the expertise, marketing technician, PR guys, whatever, people that dress them, people that take them to radio interviews. Imagine that product will become a household name. Even if, ladies and gentlemen, English should never be a selling point for a quality of a product. Because you don't eat in English. You don't sleep in English.
Thank you.
You don't make love in English. Okay, maybe. Maybe you make love in English.
Some of us, we speak English, but we still dream in Oshibuko.
You dream in Oshibuko. Exactly. Yeah. And so the part of the decolonization of who we are as a people and also especially as creatives is attaching everything to everything that is English. Cause you can find great movies that can be dubbed into English subtitles.
Yeah.
But then this comes back to the point of the creative must do the work because the market wants it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Yep.
When if I'm just saying you're all, if they were to ask me to list those that have to be on the tape on, I don't know, maybe I'm going to be working in the presidency.
Darling, from your mouth to God's ears, and I know that you're a praying woman, huh? So yeah, I trust you. Go deeper, happy, go deeper, deeper, please continue, prophesy, please prophesy.
So, who knows, maybe I'll be making coffee and tea for the president. And
darling.
And then I just happened to bring in her coffee.
In audience. Says,
you know what? We are looking for somebody who understands the creative industry. You know, not just forefront of it, but behind the scenes, the challenges that we need to address. I'll definitely mention your name. Well, thank Madam you. President, there's this beautiful lady. She looks very young, also.
Remember, I said I only have useful friends in my life.
Yeah, no,
Happy, I'm holding you accountable. This friendship must be prosperous.
Amen.
But
to
thank
that.
You so much for the compliment. And I don't take it all on my own.
Yeah.
Like I said, legacy really comes a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
If there was no Freddie Philander, rest in peace. If there was no David Chavera, rest in peace. If there was no Bridget Pickering, if there was no Ted Scott, if there was no NBC, if there was no Eagles FM, if there was no radio, because you guys are almost the new kids on the block.
Of course. Sir.
Great. So let's give credit where credit is due.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
If there was no Frontiers or people trailblazing,
yeah,
there would be no Eagle FM.
Mm.
So even if you're able to stand on your own, that history, you stand on the shoulders of a formidable other institution that came into being. Right. Yeah. People that said, no, 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 no. We really need to have community-based radio stations that could become commercial. And it all started from a dream. But because there were people that vested or invested into the dream, that's where, that is why we're able to sit in. And this is the beautiful thing that Andrea is about imagining. It starts in your head.
Imagination.
But this radio station started off in somebody's mind.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're actually sitting in an actual building.
We're actually sitting make it like in their minds. Should I put it like that? Like
it came from that. It's from it's a mental manifestation.
Became a reality.
Thank you.
Well, that vision which they had is now a reality.
So I am. You are really. See, I'm a dream. Yeah, I'm the manifestation of the dreams of the trailblazers that came from way, 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 way behind, way, way, way before. Because you see, even you got individuals like Boli Muteng. He was my drama teacher when I was 10.
Boli?
Yes. Nice. Can you imagine? That time he was a trainee actor, a train of trainers at BRICS Communities Project, whatever.
Yeah.
This is a long time ago.
Yeah.
So if you see me, you see a whole village.
I hear you.
Yeah, it's not. So all credit really goes to my grandparents and their parents out there. And somebody said, oh, my child wants to study law. Great. I think we only have 3 institutional lawyers in the creative sector in Namibia. You can have somebody go study law, and they specialize in IP, and then they specialize in entertainment law and copywriting and all these type of things because the industry is growing.
Yes.
Your child could become an accountant exclusively just for the creative sector.
Exactly.
Because people are producing movies, people are producing music videos.
Money's coming in.
People are doing radio shows, all these type
Money's
of things.
Coming.
And with also with online monetization coming eventually, but there's money that comes somewhere. So obviously a bookkeeper or an accountant
somebody
is,
to hold is,
it is somebody is needed. And people only think that we have high profile. Even if somebody is a carpenter, that person could be good for building sets.
Exactly.
That's true.
Everyone is needed in the creative sector. It's called the orange economy. Everybody knows blue economy, which is the marine and waters and whatever. Everybody knows the black economy, which is most backdoor, darling. Then we know about the green economy. But the orange economy is the creative. It's CCI. We are part of the orange economy. It has a name. It has a name. It exists.
Tutu, I see your place in this creative industry. No, and I'm not exaggerating.
Thank you,
and
my friend.
And on top of that, I want to say, I get compliments about my English, right? Sometimes I'll be like, really? But let me say this. You have such a vocabulary. You have so many words. You have such a vocabulary.
Thank you, my friend.
Like,
that's why I pictured her in academia.
Yes.
As a lecturer.
Because she, I'm like, formidable. That's the not, and I'm just like,
oh, happy. Thank you so much. On a Saturday, no help. Very lekker. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad. I'm so glad we're having this conversation now. And not 2 years back.
Right.
Because right now,
the alignment is the right time. The alignment is now.
Yes.
And you know, you are fulfilling the manifesto, both of you, with the work that you're doing behind the scenes. You are manifesting. You are doing part of the manifestation and the execution of what any industry needs, which is people who can speak on our behalf.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you guys are our spokespeople.
Yeah, ne?
You guys form part of the fourth institution, the fourth estate, which is the media.
Yes.
So guys, never underestimate.
Accountable.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Never underestimate the power of switching on your mic.
Amen.
Never, never. Yeah. You've been given this voice. This is why I was asking that Andreas, offline, what is the method? What is the methodology to the madness? You are not here by accident.
Yeah.
Maybe when that's you true. Were young and you were herding the kettle, shame. Maybe you were listening. Maybe you were listening to the radio and it planted itself in your mind, probably as that 6 year old or that 5 year old boy. This is your dream becoming a reality, and somebody is
said, just the time is a bit up. When they started the UNAM radio,
right?
I was an SRC for academic affairs at UNAM.
Yes.
And I applied for me to go in the radio and do the whatever, yes, hosting or whatever it is that,
yes,
that,
yes,
I need,
yes,
to
presenting,
do.
Yes.
Yeah, presenting.
Yes.
And because I'm from education, I'm not from media, right. I couldn't get the job.
Wow.
I am living a dream of over 20 years ago.
And you're never never old, which means it really comes from,
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah.
And so, everybody, how can I put it?
Mm-hmm. Everybody has their time. Is that
what there's a reason that they say, like, never forget the child within you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the child within you really holds all the promises of who you wanted to be an adult. That's why people always say, Tutu, you're so playful. Because that part of, I said, I'm playful, I'm childlike, but I'm not childish.
Yeah.
Because I remember that 6-year-old Tutu that used to talk to the pottle, the kettle, and the spoons, and used to drive my grandparents crazy. Because I knew that little me reminds me of what I do now. So
that's true.
Happy, I do tell you, and just that the Andes, although we are age mates, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
you are part of the funnel. Not the planting, the funnel of a child's dream that's listening to you guys. And not only on air, but the interactions that you have with people that come into your life. That hello, how can I help you? You're doing so well. Can you update me on this? And you just being serving citizens really goes a long way. If we are better citizens, we are able to be better as a people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that should remind us. Mm-hmm. And that only speaks to who we were as children. Because children, they didn't see wrong or right,
mm-hmm,
black or white,
mm-hmm,
up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was in its innocence because everything was pure. So even though we have got the Babylon system that is working against us, don't forget to remember the child that is within you.
Amen.
Yeah.
That is a good one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't forget that guy went to UNAM and got rejected. It's the bigger, there's a bigger dream now. Of course,
and
yes.
And do you know who my role model was
the whole time? Robert.
Steve Mamili.
Oh, yes.
Steve Mamili.
Oh, yes,
I don't know what happened to him later on, but that was my person.
And Robin Tyson.
Robin Tyson.
Of course,
oh,
Robin,
yeah,
Tyson.
I already got the news.
Robin Tyson. Yes. I know Robin Tyson.
Oh,
I know
no
Robin.
Idea.
Yes.
Where's he?
He's around. Yes, he's around.
I know him.
Yeah. And so this is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Somebody must listen or hear Tata Andreas and Nehappy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make reference to you without even knowing you.
Mm. It's true. Hey, Happy saying don't read. My goodness, I find myself ever being quoted.
Yes.
in a student's assignment. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I have my bed that is waiting for me that I look forward to go to.
So early, because you've got church tomorrow.
To be honest, awesome. When I go home now, I'll probably be online doing what, and I'm going to sleep.
Mm.
I want, and this is a thing, it's become a thing, because you are so awake now, when you go home, nope.
Sleep is not coming.
away, but church for me starts, we have a new branch now, starts at 12, but the new branch starts at 2, so.
Oh, yay. You see, even so the churches are changing with the times,
you see?
Because they speak to the need of the demographic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's how consumerism is driven, nice. Really, when you're able to change.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Mm. I like that.
Who wants to wake up doch early doch? Guys, I grew up in the church. I know that story of waking up at 6:30, making sure your shoes are polished.
On a Sunday.
And then you are doing that on Monday again.
And you do that on
Saturday
evening.
So the only thing you are doing it is Saturday. So, yeah.
Yes. Guys, we've got so many stories to tell.
Beautiful.
I think you should just come back, man.
Yeah.
No, I think so.
For me, this was like a missed call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Mr. Tutu, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
I was able to speak freely because I felt welcome.
Welcome to Eagle FM.
Yes. I felt really welcome. And I'm super excited to, you guys have no idea. All the things that we spoke about was a remembrance of why I do what I do. Because some days I have like, it doesn't make sense.
You definitely have to listen
It doesn't make sense. So this was more than it was a giving session. I took so much from it. Yeah. I've been re-empowered, re-energized.
I don't want to break you all. I do not want to break. But this is what I've come to realize. I've noticed.
Please break.
Thank you. you can't be a guest on Life Lesson and not there's a way it always pulls something. I literally had this beautiful lady on my show. I've noticed with so many people, like there was a time I had a guest who's also in the media, and then right after Life Lessons, he went on to be having sort of like not podcast, but what do you call this ones where you see it like a panel discussions. And then I had another beautiful lady in the media, and then she went on to speak on advice on, because when I was new in the industry at that time, and she gave me some advice. So don't allow too much time to, you know, don't allow dead air. As soon as you say you're going for a commercial break, quickly click on it, click on the song while you're, you know, like that. She went on to also educate more people on that in her own capacity. So most of the time, I've heard guest year. I don't know. There's somehow there's a shift, and they realize, oh, wait, that is me. Yes, that is you. And they go and enhance more.
There's no coincidental meeting. There's no coincidental meeting. This alignment, we are where we are supposed to be this moment in time. What time is it now? 20 past 9. We are exactly where we're supposed to be because the alignment is right. So this was because I had the most terrible week. I had the most terrible week with production. So I couldn't do much because I got arrested. Hey, Choma. Hey, they came at me. The traffic fines.
What happened?
City of Witto came for me. City police came for me. And my whole week. My whole week. My whole week was just turned upside down because I needed to make sure that even I don't get, I don't, you know, I need to pay, so I need to give some down payment for bail. They made me sit there, and the next day I went to court, and you know, it's so, you're so vulnerable. They ask you all these intimidating questions, and why you have such, what do you call it? Mischievous demeanor that you're not able to be a law abiding citizen and pay your ticket. But all this time that I'm going through this thing, I am just saying these are stories that need to be told also, and probably also awareness that needs to happen.
What
so
experience.
So this week I was only in studio for one day because everything else was just messed up.
Don't worry.
But I'm a better person now, Choma. I know I will pay my traffic fines.
I will pay my traffic.
I was just like, oh my gosh, this money's for my hair, it's for my nails. And the character that was sitting with me, you know, when you get arrested, everybody there has a story. This one, what, this one, what, this one forgot what, this one, what, this one is late. This one only has one sock on because this one is hair is not combed. This one is having with a suit. But there, everybody is in, we are all there arrested for everybody is in the humble state. And it was like a reminder of the stories that we have. So this today's session was a highlight for my week. I felt so bruised. My ego was so so deflated. But today was a reminder of really why I do what I do. So, guys, we will not end this conversation, huh? Thank you so much and good night.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen, from your staff, Happy Juju, and
Mr. Andreas here.
And the beloved
Otilia Tutu Mungoba.
You know what? See, you are listening. This is Otilia Tutu Mungoba. You're listening to Life Lessons. Something like that.
Hey, folks. This is Otilia Tutu Mungoba, and you're listening to Life's Lessons proudly on Eagle FM.
Yeah. Good night, y'all. I love that.